The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Crush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he saves, he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what are we going to do with sin? There's a question. Question people have been asking for absolutely for centuries. The answer to that question goes all the way from doing nothing to boasting in the fact that we can sin. That's what Paul talks about in our epistle lesson. Because of grace, should we go on sinning even more? And Paul answers, absolutely not. But how do we deal with sin? However we define it, we have to deal with it. The answer to sin is Jesus. Jesus is the biblical answer to sin. His death on the cross was the way that God restored a relationship with him. And John the Baptist brought a message, not a fresh message, because it was the same message that all the prophets had said before John. But John, being the final prophet of the Old Testament, brings again the message, repent. Then John adds a little more to it, and be baptized. Repentance is something that's hard to do because it calls for a complete change within us. The context of our text for today begins at verse 2 where Luke records the phrase, "The word of God came to John in the desert." It had been nearly 400 years since Malachi, the next to last prophet of the Old Testament. So for 400 years, God had been silent until John. Now John's method was blunt. I don't think John could get away with what he said. Well, he didn't get away with it. Get away with it in today's world, calling people a brood of vipers and turn because the coming wrath of God is coming. John was very anti-establishment even for his day. Luke 16:16 says, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it." Kind of give an idea of how John was viewed in the first century. He would have been the first century version of Billy Graham. A man who went about this country with his various revivals, leading a lot of people to Christ. John the Baptist was in the desert, and many people came out to hear John and repented and believed that the Christ was coming. Now, John's baptism, or call to baptism, was different than what the Jews understood, because they understood baptism was only for Gentiles. See, when you converted to Judaism, you had to wash yourself of being a Gentile. You were a dirty Gentile covered with sin, and you needed to be washed of it, so you were baptized. John's coming along saying to the Jews, you need to be baptized also, because you need to admit that you're sinners as well. John is bringing to mind the message from Exodus 19. "Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasure possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites.'" As God had saved his people from Egypt, Christ would save his people through his death on the cross. John's preaching hits three main areas: repentance of sin, baptism, and introducing Christ as the Messiah. Repentance is more than just feeling sorry for what we've done. The word repentance has the idea of a complete change of mind, a change of direction, like doing a U-turn in life. That's what the word repentance means. So when we are truly repentant, it's more than just feeling sorry for themselves. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, "For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." Repentance is when we see the true nature of our sin. Repentance shows us the price that Christ had to pay for that sin. A man, Tobert, who wrote a commentary on this, wrote about repentance. "Repentance is a decisive act affecting all of life. It makes a difference in the way a person speaks, acts, thinks, earns his living, and relates to other people. No doubt John would have called on many modern church members to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance were he among us today. There are far too many contradictions between what we believe and the way that we live in the world." John's speech was rough, but he had to get their attention. He couldn't be soft-spoken. It was time to get their attention. The Christ was here. Of John, it is said in Isaiah chapter 40, The voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. When a high-positioned official came to an area, he always sent couriers ahead of him, announcing that he was coming for the people to get ready. So if there were potholes in the road, so that he would not possibly risk his horse tripping, the people would go outside of the village or the city and make sure that everything was nice and level for his coming. That was the role of John, was to level out everything and prepare the people for the coming of the Christ. John's baptism was different, as I said, than what the Jewish understanding of baptism was about. The Jews believed that they were saved just because they were descendants of Abraham. I mentioned that converts to Judaism had to be baptized. Now John is saying to the Jews, you need to be baptized as well. He's calling upon them to be penitent. In other words, a commitment, penitent being sorrowful, but also a commitment to the neighbor. To accept a lesser standard of living in order to help other people. It's not recorded in this particular gospel lesson, but John says to the tax collectors and soldiers, in particular, to the tax collectors, he says, collect only what is due you. The way tax collectors worked in the New Testament era was if I was a tax collector and Rome said I had to collect $500 from each one of you for your taxes to Rome, but Rome paid me so little for doing this job, I would charge you $750 and then pocket the $250. This is the way I made my living. And you guys knew that you only owed $500 but paid $750. So guess who you got mad at? Me. Not Rome. See, Rome was brilliant in this. They turned Jew against Jew because the Jews were the tax collectors. If you turn Jew against Jew, that means they don't have time to go against the Romans. And he says to the soldiers, don't extort the people. You know, when you're a hated class like Roman soldiers were in occupied Palestine at that time, you were so hated by the people, you just stopped caring. You stop caring about the people you were there to protect. So what the Roman soldiers would do is, if I was a Roman soldier and I needed money, and Larry was walking down the street, and I knew Larry had some money on him, well, Larry, I'm going to arrest you unless you pay me. So guess what Larry's going to do? He's going to pay me. That's how Roman soldiers padded their income. Because once again, they got paid very little. But John says to both of them, be content with what you have. Part of repentance then for the soldiers and the tax collectors was to live on what they were paid, not to cheat the people. Some people deny their sin, say, I don't need repentance. A mother made a batch of brownies. She told her young son, don't touch any of them until later. She came back a little later, and guess what? Two pieces of the brownie were missing. So she says to the boy, I always love this question, did you eat these? Like, who else would have done it? And the little boy, of course, said, no. So she got out a mirror and says, now look in your face and see all the fudge crumbs around your mouth. Sin gets pointed out by God. He holds up a mirror to us and says, this is what you actually look like. Repentance is when we get to that point where we say, we're not going to do this again. We're going to turn from our ways because sin is going to find us out in the end anyway. So what shall I do about my sin? To quote, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. That's from 1 John chapter 1. So live respectable lives in keeping with the fact that Christ did die for our sins. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.